Today on Knowing Christ, Pastor Rich Burkle will again share a message from God's Word with the desire that we grow our relationship with Christ. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll join us each week for Rich's verse-by-verse teaching of Scripture.
The Lord gives us His Word so that people who trust in Him will have hope in times of desperation and darkness. This is why believers must be. If we're believers, we must be filled with hope, even in the worst times.
Here's Rich with an introduction for this week's message.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles once again to this fascinating story in 2 Kings 6 and 7. This story, it's so great on so many levels. We find these lepers who receive this bounty from the Lord in the time of famine, and they consider not sharing the bounty with others, but then they become convicted that they have received so much and that they're responsible now to share the goodness of God's provision to them with others who are starving. Of course, the metaphor is one that encourages us to share the bounty of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people around us. We have received forgiveness of sins. We've received adoption into God's family, a restored relationship with Him, so much we've received from the gospel. And I pray that this message would be an encouragement to you to share the gospel with others. Let's listen with a prayerful heart and say, Lord, would you open up doors for me to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who are around me? I believe God will bless you today.
Let's, for the sake of argument, presume that no matter how bad it got, it is possible for even in our failed dark humanity to still avoid some solutions that others might enter. This woman still stands as a picture, an illustration for us about our trouble and about our need for the Lord. For like her, regardless of whether the way is cooking her child or some other way, we all, like sheep, have gone our own way. We're all looking for our own solution to our own problems. In other words, we don't wait on the Lord. We don't listen to Him. We don't submit to Him. We don't trust Him. And like sheep, we go astray, and each one of us turns to his own way. Here's what God says about our hearts. He says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we are connected to the glory of God, because we're connected to the solution about our sin, then all those things which are most important, those provisions that are sustaining, that don't lead us into darkness and that never destroy us, all those provisions, they're ours in Jesus Christ. So here's the truth. We're all desperate, and God's provision is made available to every person who would simply look up to Him and believe. The second idea we're going to trace is the diversity of responses now. Notice the diverse ways that unbelief expresses itself in the story. So there's a hungry mom who expresses unbelief through looking to the dark solution of eating her child. There's a king who expresses unbelief through a show of false repentance, sort of some religious outer forms. And then through severe anger at God, he says, Elisha's not going to last the day with his head on his shoulders. And then there's the king's captain. And the king's captain expresses his unbelief through ridicule of God's word. Ha! He says, is the Lord himself going to make the windows of heaven open up and just dump down food on us? How ridiculous. So unbelief has a lot of different forms, has a lot of different faces. When distress comes to our lives, Satan uses that distress to tempt us in all manners of unbelief. And on the surface, one form of unbelief seems very different from another form of unbelief. And it makes us kind of proud. Well, I didn't, at least I didn't do X, you know, in the midst of unbelief. So we look at the woman who eats her child. We say, well, she's quite a bit different from the king, who wears just this external repentance when there is no real repentance and who gets angry at the prophet. And he's quite a bit different from the captain who just openly mocks and ridicules the word. All those are different, right? And the answer is no, they're not. They're really all the same at their heart, at the root. They really are expressions of unbelief. Wherever unbelief is, it is the unbelief. It's not the expression of unbelief that disconnects us from God's blessing. It is the unbelief itself in any of its form that hinders us from receiving the goodness and the blessing of God's promises. Unbelief is man's greatest danger because unbelief is the one sin that keeps us from receiving God's grace. Faith, then, is man's greatest friend because faith is the one response that opens the door to receive the benefits of God's grace. So really, there are only two responses to God: belief or unbelief, submission or rebellion, love or hatred, reception or rejection. And there are a lot of angles at which we may fall away from the Lord in unbelief, but there's only one angle which may stand up straight and erect before the Lord in faith. And that one angle is through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. Here's what Jesus says about these two responses, faith or unbelief. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. There are a lot of differences among unbelievers. But if there is no belief, then they stand condemned, that person. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Thankfully, in the midst of this darkness about our heart and about the diverse ways unbelief expresses itself, it's not hopeless because God is a God of grace and he discloses his grace. So how does God disclose, unveil his grace to us? Well, by his word and by the experiences of people who believe his word. Okay. We see both kinds of disclosures, by his word, absolute revelation, but also by his workings with his people in giving grace. And both kinds. First of all, he discloses grace by his word. So in chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha says, "Hear the word of the Lord," announces there's going to be food. Within 24 hours, bountiful, plentiful food. So hear the word of the Lord. Why is Elisha so confident that there would be food 24 hours from now? He looks out, he sees the same army. He looks at the granaries and all the places they store food. There's no food in the city. He sees no foods coming in. Why is he so confident within 24 hours, food is just going to be flowing through the city when it seems absolute from a human standpoint, impossible? Why? Because he's a man who believes the word of the Lord contrary to what he sees with his eyes. And that's what God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. It's the only way that we'll see the disclosure of God's grace. This world looks very dark to a person without faith, and it always will. But a person who has God's grace open, unveiled to them through the eyes of faith, is a person who always has hope. Light floods into our soul as we simply believe. The Lord gives us his word so that people who trust in him will have hope in times of desperation and darkness. This is why believers must be, if we're believers, we must be filled with hope even in the worst times. He also discloses grace by experience. Look at verse 8. "And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went in the tent and they ate and drank." So they experienced the lavish grace of God. And then they finally said, "It's not right for us to keep it quiet." So God gives a direct experience of his love to outcast lepers. And the Lord gives grace to individuals all throughout human history. And as he does so then, as he discloses grace to individual, he gives us who receive his grace a responsibility then to communicate that, not just hold it in. So I ask you, has the Lord given you grace? And here's the convicting question. If I'm a recipient of God's grace, am I now a communicator, one whom God is using to say, "Hey, here's what was happening. I was starving to death, and God fed me through Jesus Christ. And now I'm not starving anymore." That's a simple word. The lepers didn't have to, you know, quote a bunch of scripture. They didn't have to go to seminary. All I just say, "We ate over here, and there's food over here." That was the call. It's just to tell the experience that one has with the grace of God. So on a sabbatical, we had a lot of experiences, a lot of conversations. One that stands out was Kimberly and I, you know, some of her health problems. We look for some saunas to go to. There's a public sauna. So we're in the steam room. You know, you can't see anything. You just see shadows in there. And all of a sudden, the door opens up, and this woman walks in, and so we start talking to her, you know, find out she's from Chicago, and found out she's here with some friends, you know, on a gal's vacation. Oh, that sounds interesting. Then, of course, we're leading to spiritual matters, and we talk to her about the Lord, about, "Do you have a church in Chicago?" She tells a great church. "Well, tell us your testimony," we said. She says, "I'm active in church, you know, go there every Sunday. Tell us your testimony." She says, "Oh, I don't have a testimony." Okay, now all of a sudden, we thought we were on a path, and now it's, well, tell me more about, you know, what you do. "Well, I'm actually a Bible study fellowship teacher." So okay, well, now we're back on track. I mean, I don't know what you mean by not having a testimony. I'm not going to tell you my testimony. I don't have a testimony. And then she talked a little bit about always being a Christian, which is kind of a big flag. And then she talked about Bible study fellowship. Okay, maybe that's a good organization. You know, she's a teacher. She's not just going. She's one to teach. Okay. Do you plan to talk with your friends who are here on vacation about the gospel? Because she told us that they are not believers. And she says, oh, no. She says, I believe in witnessing by my actions. That's okay. Now, first of all, hey, it's great to witness by our actions. I applaud it. I encourage everybody to witness by their actions. But it's not enough. It's just simply not enough. Imagine for a moment the lepers. They're eating, hey, it's not enough. You know, we're kind of responsible. These people are starving over there. Maybe we should go tell them. It's not right. And one says, hey, here's the plan. Let's eat for a month. And then after, you know, we're going to get big and, you know, some weight on us. We'll just parade around the city walls and people look down and say, hey, that person looks like they've eaten. Maybe we should ask them, hey, did you have some food? Does that sound like a great plan? No, it's a terrible plan. First, you have to wait a month, like it takes too long. And secondly, you have to hope that maybe they might see you and maybe they might ask you the question. They were called by God after receiving the benefit of his blessing to go and just say, hey, here's what's happening. There are no Assyrians in camp and it's full of food. That's it. Here's the encouragement, the practical application. Ask God for an opportunity to share your testimony of God's grace in your life this week. If you are a recipient of God's grace, if you've been forgiven of your sins, if you have a home in heaven, if you have a real relationship with the living God, bountiful, bountiful blessings we could name. Ask God for an opportunity. Because as those four men said, it's not right for me to eat at the banquet table and not tell starving people that there's food. The destruction of unbelief. Notice how many terrible outcomes flow from the unbelief in the story. Each is given us as an example of what happens when we refuse to believe the Lord. So one is a mother's child. She kills her own child. Child's dead. Terrible destruction. Second, kings filled with dark fury. Murderous against God's prophet. No light, no peace, no hope in him. Spiritually bankrupt. Secondly, the captain loses his own physical life as a result of unbelief. So destruction, destruction, destruction follows unbelief. I don't know all the problems you face. Because, you know, in this broken world, there are a lot of problems. There are a lot of hurts. Maybe your marriage is in shambles. Maybe your body's breaking down. There's all kinds of health concerns. Maybe your friends have forsaken you. Maybe your job is miserable. Maybe you don't have a job at all and you need one. Maybe inside you're just filled with depression and darkness and hopelessness. Maybe you've experienced some terrible trauma. Maybe people are slandering you and saying all kinds of evil against you. All these are painful and significant hurts. We don't minimize any one of them. They're significant and serious. We need the Lord. But here's what we acknowledge as believers. We acknowledge that it's unbelief and unbelief alone that destroys us. Nothing but unbelief can destroy us. Yeah, can we be hurt? Can we be injured? Can we be filled with pain? Yes. Physically, emotionally, socially, and even spiritually, we can feel the pain. But nothing can destroy us other than unbelief. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I'll fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Nothing can destroy the believer but unbelief. And it's really important because we can look at all the difficulties and real problems, and they're real problems. We don't minimize those problems. And we say, that is going to destroy me. And that is not true. It just simply is not true. It is our own unbelief alone that cuts us off from the Lord's loving provision. And the Lord's loving provision overcomes every broken world problem. Faith is, it's the open hand that receives God himself and receives his loving provision for us. I love Romans 4. It talks about Abraham. And listen to what it says about Abraham. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he's about 100 years old. He had the promise of having a child 25 years ago. 25 years later, no child. He did not weaken in faith. God promised him a child. He didn't weaken in faith, not even at 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, when he considered, man, you know, my wife is now old too, and we've not had children. We've tried and tried. And look what it says, and I love this little phrase, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. Amen. So no unbelief made him waver. I'm standing strong because this is the ground under my feet. And he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God is able to do what he's promised. What an example. Now the demand for evangelism, verse 9 of chapter 7. We are not doing right. This is a day of good news. So evangelism, again, it's an uncomfortable subject for many of us. But first and foremost, it's a reflection of our heart. It's not primarily about our courage or our speaking skills or our Bible knowledge or Bible training. All those can be helpful, but evangelism is first about a passion for God's glory and a compassion for people who are starving. That's what it is. God deserves the honor, and people are hurting, and I know now where there's a table filled with food to give them life. So what do we do if we have no heart for evangelism? Well, what I tell you not to do, don't scold yourselves and say, I just need to be a better evangelist. I need to do this again this week. No, don't do that. Don't scold yourself. Guilt and shame don't help us overcome the hurdles that our fears and Satan puts in our path. What do we do? Instead, we repent. We say, Lord, this is a hard issue. I repent of not having greater zeal. I want to turn away from this selfish self-focus because that's what's keeping me from a God-centered zeal for you. And I repent of not really having a compassion. And I confess to you that sin, and I can't change myself, but I know you can. I'm going to you. I'm going to Christ Jesus. I'm going to your spirit to change my heart. There's all kinds of hurdles that would have stood in the way of the lepers to keep from telling that city. They said, you know, they never liked us anyway. Why should we do anything for them? They've hated us all along. Well, they're just going to ridicule us. They're not even going to believe us. So it's not going to do any good. Hey, we need to secure our own future, take care of our own needs first, and then maybe after we've stored up all this food and silver, then maybe we should go out to tell them. All kinds of reasons they could have given. I want you to notice as you think about evangelism that God does not require these lepers to argue with the Israelites about the existence of food. He just called them to announce it. The people's response is not the leper's responsibility. I know that evangelism is not easy, but our reception of the Lord's bounty makes us responsible. If we've received his grace, it's just simply not right to tell people who are starving. They don't know they're starving, many of them, but they're starving, and there's food that if they take it and they eat it, they'll have life. The Lord invites everyone to his table, and if we happen to be among those who heard that invitation and came to the table, now are compelled by God's kindness to bring that invitation to others. Last is the dependability of God's word. I love this. Here, every part of the story, everything the Lord said came true. God said there's going to be food that's just flowing through the streets. Within 24 hours, there's food flowing through the streets. God told this captain through Elisha, you're going to see the food, you're going to taste a spoonful of it. Down to the very letter, God's word is eternal. The Lord never lacks power to fulfill his word. Not one word from God's book will ever fail. We can take it to the bank. And the last application I want to bring to you this morning is simply this. Let us immerse ourselves in the word of God. And then let us receive it by faith. So immerse ourselves. I don't know, it's okay to start a new Bible plan before January 1st. You know, a lot of times we start new Bible plans January 1st, and we get to about January 6th, and then we fall off. But again, it's a reflection of the heart. It's not a discipline to say, I just need to do this to be a good Christian. It's like, I need life. If I'm to experience the nourishing impact of God's blessing in a troubled world and not be bound up by all the other responses I will have to my troubled world and all my problems, if I'm to have peace and I'm to have joy and to have a heart of worship and a real relationship, I need to immerse myself in God's word, and I need to immerse myself in a way that benefits from it, which means it's not just bare reading, it's not a Bible plan, but it's reading with a view to believing and believing with a view to obeying. I want to close by reading that passage from Isaiah 8 again to you because I think it's so instructive, so powerful. I read it this morning, actually, in my devotion. I thought, man, that is such a passage that awakened my heart. And when they say to you, Inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter. I love that. Because here's what people say. Oh, you have a problem. Hey, here's somebody who has access to real knowledge. And for them, it was necromancers and it was people of mystics. But fill in the blank. Not many. Some people still would say, go to a necromancer. Here's some mystic that you can go to. And there's a false religion that's growing, as I understand it, of the occult. But a lot of others in our more scientific age would say, hey, inquire of, and fill in the blank, some other source that has a path to knowledge and wisdom, that if you apply that path of knowledge and wisdom, then you're going to have life. Whatever that path is, it could be education of some kind, it could be human philosophy, it could be really smart people who became very rich and seem like they have everything together in life, so I'm going to read this self-help book, whatever it is, go there, inquire of them. And here's the scripture saying, why would you not inquire of the Lord? Why do you go to people who are spiritually dead in order to learn how to have life? Why would you do that? Does that really make any sense? He says, to the teaching and to the testimony. I love that because it's like a bugle charge call. Like, here's the teaching, the testimony, the word. Go right there. We know exactly where life is. We know exactly instruction. We know exactly the word we need right there. To the testimony, to the, let's go. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. In other words, anyone who doesn't hear to the teaching, to the testimony, I don't know about that. You know, there's still some other places. It's because they don't have any light in their soul. They've never experienced the light of Jesus. And what's going to happen? They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they're hungry, they'll be enraged and speak contemptuously against their king, contemptuously against their God, and their faces will turn upward in pride and self-sufficiency. Boy, does that describe our culture. And then they will look to the earth. They'll no longer look into heaven for answers. And they will look to the earth. But behold, when they look to the earth, all they'll find is distress and destruction, a gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. What a good news the gospel brings. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And when we walk in his light, we are filled with light.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that our radio ministry is a blessing and encouragement to you. Specifically today, we pray that this message encourages you to begin to consider your role in God's kingdom program of bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus to other people. You know, this subject of evangelism, it's often uncomfortable. We often feel inadequate. We often become afraid. We often feel a good bit of shame for not being involved more. And yet, what do we do? I would encourage you to begin by prayer, by just asking God to bring this subject of sharing the provision that he's given to you to others, and ask him to do so in a way that would be encouraging and strengthening. We want to help you also by offering you a book free of charge from our ministry to you. If you write us, we'd love to send you a book called Questioning Evangelism. We believe this would be an encouragement to you to know more about how you can engage in the people around you with the gospel. May God bless you today.
Thanks for listening today. It's such a blessing to bring you these messages each week. We're now on over 125 stations across the country, and we're thankful for what God is doing. But we need your help. As God provides, would you consider sending a financial gift to Knowing Christ? Your gifts allow us to continue offering the resources for free and will allow us to grow the ministry as God directs. Giving is easy. Just go to our website, knowingchrist.org, and select the Support tab. That's knowingchrist.org. And we thank you in advance. For the sake